This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation. I'm Bill Enright, and my partner in crime is Todd DeVries. What's going on, Todd? I'm happy to be back here on Patriots.com Radio.
Another season, my friend, and it all starts tonight with a plethora, a six-pack of preseason action. I know you can't wait to tune in for the action tonight, right, Bill?
I'll tell you what, as long as I have a six-pack with me, I'll be able to go through the games.
You might need a six-pack to get through. If you're actually going to watch a game from end to end in the preseason, you might need a six-pack.
Maybe,
you know what,
I'll just drink to get drunk.
You know what, though, Bill? We'll find something to love about each one of these games. There's certain things we need to keep an eye on, and we'll get to that in today's show.
Absolutely. We want to give a quick shout-out to our producer, Kevin Collins, making things happen behind the scenes. What's going on, Kev?
Not much, just making you ladies sound lovely.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, don't we?
It's tough to do with Bill.
I'm trying not to get too jealous of the other producer. It's tough.
Ah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine, pal. Todd, today's the first episode of Football Nation for the 2013 season. We're so happy to be back here on Patriots.com Radio. If you want to give us a call, we got a new number, 855-728-7500. Easier version of that is 855-PATS-500. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. Hit us up on Twitter at F-Ball Nation. We got a lot going on today, Todd. You mentioned the six-pack of preseason games tonight. We also want to kind of recap everything that happened the last few months in the NFL offseason, because a lot of free agency moves, a lot of coaching changes. We're going to take a look at the AFC East, show you, tell everyone out there what to kind of expect from the Dolphins and the Jets and the Bills in the preseason, focus on some of the rookies. We got a lot of work today.
Yeah, you know, some people kind of hibernate during the offseason a little bit. Or, they'll pay attention to the free agent signings, but then they'll forget about them a week later. And here we are now. Camp is in full swing. Preseason action's about to start. We're going to remind everyone who's where, what picks we like from the rookie class, what free agent moves we like, which ones we don't like, head coaching changes. We're going to recap it all, get everyone up to date, because we got five shows, Bill. Five shows during the preseason action. So we got plenty of time to lead into the real games in week one.
Here's the deal. We're going to go over the top 10 NFL free agent acquisitions this offseason. We want to know what everyone else thinks about them out there. Who didn't deserve that big payday? Who will have the biggest impact on their new team? Let us know if we left someone out of the top 10 that you think deserves to be in the top 10. So again, the number 855-PATS-500 is where you can reach us. Webradio@patriots.com is how you can get in touch with us. Todd, let's start it off with some of the receivers that we saw. Same faces, new places.
Geez, were there any receiver movement in the New England area?
I believe there was. Two of them, to be exact.
Yeah, so let's start our list off. Why don't we do this? How about I rattle off the top 10 free agent moves, and then we'll go in and dissect a few of them.
I like that idea.
All right, top 10 in no particular order. Wes Welker to the Broncos.
Right.
Danny Amendola to the Patriots. Quarterback Alex Smith from the 49ers to the Chiefs. Steven Jackson, running back to the Falcons. I love that one. Reggie Bush, running back to Detroit. Mike Wallace, wide receiver, into the AFC East to the Dolphins. Greg Jennings, flip-flops from the Packers to the Purple People Eaters, the Vikings. James Harrison stays in the division from the Steelers, linebacker. He goes over to the Bengals. Ed Reed moves on from the Ravens, Super Bowl champs, to the Texans, and Darrell Revis and Deshaun Golson go to the Buccaneers to bolster that defense.
So again, that's our top 10 biggest free agent moves of the year. If you think we left someone out, give us a call, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, webradio@patriots.com is the email. Let's start off with the wide receivers. Obviously, Todd, Pats fans very familiar with the Wes Welker move to Denver, bringing in Danny Amendola to replace the PPR machine, formerly known as Wes Welker.
All right, well, let's talk about Wes Welker first, okay?
Sure.
First of all, the way it all went down was kind of shady, kind of questionable. It kind of didn't make a lot of sense to people on the outside. Wes Welker, it wasn't like he went out and got a huge payday.
No.
I mean, honestly, 2 years, $12 million is pretty equivalent to what the Patriots wound up spending on Danny Amendola.
Right.
Right? Well, 5 years, $27.7 million, I think.
I'm not good at math, but that's pretty close.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think over 5 years, Amendola's going to make just under $6 million, and then for 2 years, Wes Welker's going to get $6 million per year. And obviously, Wes Welker's a few years older than Amendola, but still, it's like, hey, you know, why mess up a good thing?
Right.
You know? So, kind of weird how that went down, and then, of course, it only compounds the issue when he goes to a major threat to the Patriots in the AFC East, or in the AFC, in the Denver Broncos, giving Peyton Manning yet another weapon. I mean, they already had a great receiving tandem in Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Now you add Wes Welker to the mix. Bill, how many touchdowns is Peyton Manning going to throw this year?
He's going to get up towards 40, I think. I think 40 is 40. Definitely in his wheelhouse, maybe even more. But again, Todd, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, don't expect much from anyone else on that team in terms of the passing game. Yeah, maybe Ronnie Hillman or Monte Ball get involved in the passing game, but there's not going to be a fourth wide receiver
or even
a tight end that you'll have to be concerned about in fantasy football or if you're just watching the Broncos kick butt on
field. Well, of course not. Why would he need anybody else? I mean, those three are – I'm not going to rack up – geez, how many? 250 catches between the three of them? 240, something like that?
I think it could be close to 300, to be honest with you.
Close to 300 between the three of them?
I think Demaryius Thomas can get 90. I think Decker and Welker can both get 85.
You're not good at math.
How much is that?
That's about 250, 255.
All right. So we were close. I was right in the middle.
So anyway, it's only going to bolster the Denver passing game. We already know that. And then, so the Patriots go out and they get a Wes Welker clone, so to speak, and Danny Amendola. The big difference with him is the guy hasn't made it through a season in a while. He's not very durable. You know, whether that's coincidental or not, who knows? But he's got to prove to everybody that he can make it through a season. But a very similar type player. Bill, they even went to the same college at Texas Tech. Yep. Put up crazy numbers in college in the air raid offense. So, I'm curious to hear what the Patriots fans think about Danny Amendola. Do they think he's going to come in and catch 80 or 90 balls, or is that being optimistic? I mean, Wes caught what, 118 last year?
118, 122 the year before.
Yeah.
86, 123, 111, 112 going all the way back to 2007. Highest yardage total, 1569, 1569 in 2011. Danny Amendola, on the other hand, 63 receptions last year for a whopping 666 yards. He only played in 11 games. 2011, he played in one game. He had six targets for five catches. Not bad, but he only played in the one game. And then the year before that, 2010, that was his big year. And by big, I mean, yeah, he had 85 receptions, but he only had 689 yards. And we know the reason why the yards weren't as high is because he got tackled a lot.
Exactly, he got tackled a lot. That's your big line this year, huh?
Yeah.
So the issue is this. Obviously, it's not just a swap for Welker to Amendola, so to speak, because obviously there's no Gronk probably to start the year. Aaron Hernandez is gone. There's no other wide receiver returning. They're going to be possibly relying on a rookie, Aaron Dobson, to have a big season. So there's a lot of pressure on Amendola to produce right away. He needs to stay healthy in order to keep the passing game going for Tom Brady.
Now, let's stay in the AFC East, look at a new wide receiver coming to the Miami Dolphins. That's Mike Wallace. Boy, did he get paid, $60 million. Apparently, he passed up $75 million from the Minnesota Vikings. I guess he wanted that Miami lifestyle. I don't know, Miami or Minnesota. Which one would you have picked?
Well, if you put it that way,
yeah, exactly.
I guess he made the right choice. So that's if those numbers are accurate, that's an extra $15 million. I mean, that's... You know, that's a lot.
From what I understand, there's no income tax in the state of Florida.
Ah, so that
could be another reason.
That bridges the gap.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, he's Mike Wallace.
Straight cash, homie.
He's a deep
straight cash, homie. That's what I would have gone for.
The Dolphins went out. They have a young quarterback they believe in Ryan Tannehill. They wanted to get him a weapon, and they went out and got a good one. The guy can stretch the field, and he'll open things up for Brian Hartline underneath in the passing game. Good Lord. There it is. Been waiting all year for the flipper
sound effect.
You know what though, Mike Wallace last year, Bill, a little bit of a disappointment in the Steel Town. Only 64 catches, 838 yards, And, well, he did score 8 touchdowns, but 838 yards, 13.1 yards per catch, where in the previous years he was averaging 19, 21, and 17 yards per catch. So I don't know what happened last year in Pittsburgh, but he did have a little bit of a down year. Didn't seem to bother the Dolphins. They picked him up, and they paid handsomely for him. So he needs to come in and produce right away.
How about Greg Jennings, the fourth wide receiver we're going to discuss, leaving the Green Bay Packers and going to division rivals, the big-time NFC North division rival, in the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, this is a guy that was just trying to get the payday, right?
I agree.
And that's all fine. And, you know, he's getting a little older, and he wants to get the payday. I understand all that. But shut your trap. I mean, what the hell is this guy doing? He's going out bashing Aaron Rodgers. What is going on with this guy?
The latest story regarding Greg Jennings, in case you missed it, he basically came out and said that he was brainwashed, and that's his quote. He said he was brainwashed by the Green Bay Packers into making him believe that Aaron Rodgers was the best, the greatest, you know, basically the butter of the NFL's toast. So Greg Jennings, all of a sudden, he's opening his mouth. He's bashing his former teammate in Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if Greg Jennings realizes, but now Christian Ponder is throwing him the football.
Yes.
So for him to go from Aaron Rodgers, who is one of those elite quarterbacks in the NFL, to a very unproven third-year guy like Christian Ponder, I mean, Greg Jennings is going to be asked to, I don't know what he's thinking.
Well, I don't know what he's thinking about, again, about talking about all this stuff. I mean, you can't blame him for taking a 5-year deal, $47 million, way overpaid in my view, by the way.
No, you got to collect that paper. You got to get that check.
Yeah, so that's all. That's cool, whatever. I can't harm him for that. But
no.
But you can't – why are you bashing him? I mean, they're in the same division. They play each other twice. And you're – again, I mean, if Wes Walker wanted to do something similar, at least he's going to Peyton Manning, you know, one great quarterback to another. But this guy's going from Aaron Rodgers to Christian Ponder.
That's a big-time downgrade.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck with that. All right, how about we move over to running backs now? Steven Jackson goes to the Atlanta Falcons, Reggie Bush to the Detroit Lions. Todd, we love both of these moves for these. They're older running backs. Steven Jackson does turn 30, but, you know, they're not spring chickens anymore.
Well, I think Steven Jackson, you know, he's suffered through many rough years in St. Louis where he was the offense, and he produced every single year. And he's getting a little bit long in the tooth, 30 years old for a running back. That's pretty much, you know, the beginning of the end. So
right.
I think it's an excellent move for him. You know, good luck to him. He's on a good team now, a Super Bowl contender. And I think he's going to fit right in and have a little bit of a resurgence season. He's going to put up some nice stats for fantasy owners. And, man, I mean, there's just so many weapons on that Falcons offense. If you're a defensive coordinator, who are you trying to stop? You know, you're going to stop Julio and Roddy on the outside. You got to worry about Gonzo at tight end.
Yep.
You got Matt Ryan, one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And now you got to deal with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, I love the move for the Falcons. They parted ways with Michael Turner. And Steven Jackson, the biggest complaint that I think fantasy managers, if you look at it from a fantasy football angle, was – Steven Jackson always had the yards. He always had the receptions. He never got to score. He had no touchdowns. So for him to go to an offense like Atlanta, the scoring opportunities for him, even just inside the 5 and 10-yard line when Roddy White and Julio Jones are catching those deep bombs and they go out of bounds on the 3, that's where Steven Jackson's going to thrive this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, but again, this is a guy that I've always been a fan of him. You know, He seems like a good guy, and he's only getting – he's getting 3 years, $12 million. So it's not a huge deal.
$4 million a year, right?
Yeah, it's not a gigantic deal. Reggie Bush, on the other hand, he got a similar deal, 4 years, $16 million. So $4 million a year for each of these guys.
Right.
But I love Steven Jackson in Atlanta, and kind of rooting for him to finish his career on a good note. You got to figure he's got one or two good years left in him before his talents start to go a little bit south. You know.
Agreed.
So then moving on to Reggie Bush, you know, this is a guy who's had flashes. Obviously, he never lived up to his draft billing coming out of USC, winning the Heisman Trophy and then losing the Heisman Trophy. But I like the fit here. I kind of like it. I don't know why. It just seems like a good place to be. He's not going to be relied upon to carry the offense or anything like that, kind of like Steven Jackson, but to a lesser extent. You got Stafford in place, Megatron. I like the fit.
You know, Reggie Bush came very close to a 1,000-yard season last year. Only he had 986 rushing yards. So 2011, he was a 1,000-yard back. He had 6 touchdowns the last 2 years with the Dolphins. I think he's going to be used a little bit more, though, like we saw with the New Orleans Saints, where he's very, very involved with the passing game. I think Matthew Stafford really is going to benefit from having a running back like Reggie Bush there that he can, you know, use screen passes. Maybe Bush lines up out wide a few plays. And when Calvin Johnson is getting so much attention from defenses, Bush is going to have an opportunity to get a lot of success, a lot of open field production. And we know he's very, very dangerous when he gets the ball in his hands and he's in the open field.
That's Bush. Bush League.
That's Bush League, baby.
Yeah, Reggie Bush with the Dolphins, you're right. He averaged 40 receptions per season the last 2 years.
Right.
Where with the Saints, he had seasons where he caught 88 balls, 73 yeah. balls. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be catching a lot of swing passes out of the backfield. They might line him up in the slot a few times here and there. You never know. I kind of like it. I think he'll help them out. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to help them out tremendously. They've had no running back there for so long.
Right. They had Mikel LeShore last year, who was really just a in-between-the-tackles kind of guy. And we all know what happened with Javid Best and the concussions. That was supposed to be the Reggie Bush of this offense, but it just simply didn't work out for him.
Yeah, you can just go down the list. I mean, it goes back to Barry Sanders. They haven't had a guy to rely upon in years and years and years.
All right, enough of the offensive free agents. Let's move over to defense now, Todd. How about James Harrison to the Bengals? He was one of the faces of the franchise for the Pittsburgh Steelers for so long. Now he stays in the AFC North, and he's going to kind of help that Cincinnati team take the next step. You saw him on Hard Knocks. He looks like a very, very motivated individual to really help the Bengals this year.
Yeah, it's going to be weird seeing him in a different uniform. You know,
yeah, sure,
there's just certain guys that it just looks weird. I mean, it took a few games to get used to seeing Peyton Manning in the Broncos uniform. And,
Sure. And
you know, with the Steelers, such an iconic uniform, now he's going to the Bengals, so he'll help them out. The Bengals are really looking kind of dangerous, Bill.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won that division.
No. Well, you know, the Ravens are obviously on the decline. You know, they just gutted a lot of their big stars and lost Dennis Pitta for the year. So
Right. They're
not going to – you wouldn't think they'd be as good as last year. The Steelers kind of – they're always lurking around. They're always dangerous. It kind of depends on the health of Big Ben. The Bengals are just young. I mean, look at Andy Dalton, what, third-year quarterback?
Yep, third year.
Right? You got Giovanni Bernard, who's an exciting running back, rookie, to go along with Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who's still, you know, serviceable.
Right.
You got two tight ends I like, Jermaine Gresham, who's only been around for, what, 4 years maybe?
Yep.
You got a rookie in Tyler Eifert, the top tight end in the draft.
Coming out.
And then
of
on the outside, you got A.J. Green, one of the top two or three wide receivers in all of football,
yeah,
to go along with Mohamed Sanu, a rising sophomore from out of Rutgers. So
other than Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, none of their playmakers have been in the league longer than 3 years.
Right. So they're dangerous. And, you know, Andy Dalton has no excuses. And he's done pretty well the last couple of years, but they need to get it done in January this year. So, yeah, they should be right back in the mix and probably the favorites to win the AFC North.
So we saw James Harrison go to the Bengals. How about Ed Reed leaves the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens and takes a contract with the Houston Texans?
Well, I, you know, this sounds kind of weird to say, but I kind of credit the Ravens for just gutting the team. It sounds weird. They just came off a Super Bowl win. But they decided, we're just going to blow it up now. You know, we're not going to overpay the aging veterans. We're just going to – we know we're going to take a step back, but in a couple of years, we'll be right back in the middle of it. You know, Flacco's going to be around forever, right?
Right.
And I kind of like what they did. Some teams hang on. They win that Super Bowl. They try to pay these aging veterans. And while Ed Reed can still play a little bit, I mean, he's injured right now, and how many more good seasons can he give you? So it's an interesting move. He does provide a lot of veteran leadership to the Texans, who are still a team looking to get over the top. So I can see both sides of it.
And then finally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sure Patriot fans are probably happy to see Darrelle Revis leave the New York Jets as he goes down there to play for Tampa Bay. And Deshaun Goldson joins him from the San Francisco 49ers. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers realize that they have to play the Saints and the Falcons twice a year. They better solidify, they better strengthen that secondary. That's what they tried to do with these two signings.
Yeah, it's I think people have forgotten about the Darrelle Revis move. First of all, when they signed him, there was a huge question mark, and there's still a question mark, regarding his health. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of all depends on that. But if he can get back to form, that defense suddenly becomes very formidable. And, man, the The balance of power, I know the Ravens won the Super Bowl last year, but man, it seems like a lot of the teams in the NFC just keep getting stronger.
It sure does. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. Just maybe we need to break that down further in another show, but it just seems like the teams in the NFC aren't getting any weaker. They just keep bringing players over from the AFC.
All right, so that was our top 10 free agent acquisitions this offseason. What do you say we take a look at some of the coaching changes that happened? 8 new head coaches were either fired and then hired. I should say 8 new head coaching jobs became available this offseason. You're going to run down the list again, and then we'll kind of analyze them after?
Sure. The Eagles, Andy Reid is out. Chip Kelly is in. Cardinals, Ken Wisenhunt out. Bruce Arians in. Jaguars, Mike Mularkey is out. Gus Bradley is in. Browns ousted Pat Shurmur, and in is Rob Janiski. The Bears discard Lovie Smith, which was surprising. Pick up Mark Trestman, which was even more surprising, and we'll go over that in a second.
Yeah.
The Bills kick out Chan Gailey, pick up Doug Marrone. Chargers, Norv Turner finally out in San Diego. Mike McCoy is in. He's the former offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Chiefs, Romeo Crennel is out, and Andy Reid is in.
Now, Todd, these are 8 vacancies that are now obviously filled. But when you think about it, 8 teams, 8 out of 32 in the NFL have new head coaches heading into 2013. Not everyone is as lucky as Patriot fans to have the consistency, the stability of having the same head coach year in and year out. Bill Belichick, when did he get hired? In 2000, I believe, entering his 13th year with the Patriots, if you're not including that little stint he had in 96 when he was just the assistant. So, you know, these 8 franchises now, they have a whole new philosophy. Their entire training camp and OTAs and the mentality of the entire team is now brand new. So you look at a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who go from Andy Reid and now bring in a head coach, Chip Kelly, out of Oregon, who hasn't coached in the NFL before. What do you expect to see out of Chip Kelly?
Well, I think we expect the unexpected, right? That's the whole story with Chip Kelly is what's he going to do? He's an offensive mastermind at the college level. He ran a ridiculously high-powered, fast-paced attack at Oregon, but you can argue that the type of offense he ran probably won't work in the NFL if he tries to run it remotely closely to do the same, because you just don't have the same number of athletes on your team. You know, you don't have 100 kids sitting on the sideline. You know, you're dealing with millionaires who are a little bit older, and you don't have the depth charts that you have at Oregon. So it's going to be interesting. I think he's smart enough to realize that, and it's going to be fascinating to see what kind of formations he's going to bring. Now, with Jeremy Maclin injured, especially with that, I think you're going to see a lot of tight end sets with him. I think you're going to see him utilize DeSean Jackson, Demaryius Johnson, and even the rookie Russell Shepard, who are all very Oregon-like, Bill. They're all smaller, quick wide receivers that he loved at Oregon. So it's going to be fascinating, and I think tomorrow night, Friday night, the Eagles open the preseason action against the Patriots.
They do.
So it should be interesting. I know you're not going to see a lot in the preseason. He's not going to give away a lot of secrets in how he runs the offense. I don't think he's going to be, you know, burning the play clock on Friday night. Right. But you'll see some things to grasp onto that we can analyze for next week's show.
We both are in agreement that Chip Kelly is probably the most interesting hire out of this group.
Yeah, he's the most intriguing, sure.
Okay. Now, who do you think is going to be most successful in year one? So we have these 8 coaches here. Who maybe is really going to have a turnaround right out of the gate for year one?
If you're talking turnaround, okay, not total number of wins, but the most improved number of wins, they got to go with the Chiefs. I mean, they were 2-14 last year. They had a number of Pro Bowlers on the team. They have some outstanding skill position guys in running back Jamal Charles, Dwayne Bowe on the outside. They pick up Alex Smith from the 49ers, a serviceable quarterback who had a great year last year before lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, and now you bring in Andy Reid. So, man, I think 6 wins for them, you know, 6-10, maybe 7-9, something like that. That's a big improvement over 2-14 debacle.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think their playmakers are solid, like you mentioned, and I think the Alex Smith bringing him into the team is probably the biggest move outside of the Andy Reid hire, because, you know, Patriot fans may have followed Matt Castle after he left New England, and he was awful in Kansas City. So that's why they were 2-14 last year. Their quarterback play was horrendous. They had the first pick this year. brought in Andy Reid, as you mentioned, brought in Alex Smith. I do think the Kansas City Chiefs already have a solid foundation there to give Andy Reid some success in his first year.
I agree. So who do you think is going to be, you know, the toughest, the guy that had came into the worst situation out of these eight guys? Who's the guy that has the toughest rebuilding project?
It's probably the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns with Gus Bradley and Rob Chudzinski. You know, I don't think either of those teams have their franchise quarterback. You look at Blaine Gabbert with the Jags. He hasn't shown much in his 2 years. He was hurt last year. Chad Henne looked much better than he did. And then with the Browns, we'll see if Old Man Whedon, that's his nickname, right?
Oh, that's what we call him. He's older than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. So when Aaron Rodgers was winning a Super Bowl, Brandon Whedon was still at Oklahoma State throwing passes to Justin Blackman. But that's beside the point. I don't think Whedon is their guy, and even if he is, how long is he going to last? Because he's already pretty old. He's getting up towards 30 already, even though he's entering in just his second season. So I think Gus Bradley and Rob Chudzinski both have the toughest jobs down there in Jacksonville and over in Cleveland.
All right. My last question for you here is, this is kind of a fun one. Uh-huh. Of these eight guys, who's going to be the first to get fired? They haven't even played their first preseason game, Bill. But we're already talking about who's gone. Which one of these guys is out of here?
Yeah, who's getting the axe? Who's getting canned first out of this group? You know, I might have to go back to the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns only because I can't see their owners waiting around to become better. And I don't think they're even close to being better. The Browns may have the upper hand a little bit because I do think they have some playmakers on offense. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are in trouble. Maurice Jones-Drew is in a contract year, and if he decides to leave, I don't know who the fan base will attach themselves to on that team. It's certainly not going to be Blaine Gabbert. So, Gus Bradley, congratulations on getting hired this year. However, you will be the first to get fired out of this group.
I'll disagree. I'm going to go with the Bears hire, Mark Trestman, and here's why.
All right.
Obviously, the ownership there has high expectations. The Bears went 10-6 last year and fired their head coach.
It's tough to get 10 wins in the NFL.
And lose your job.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they obviously think that the players, they have the players in place to do something more than that. And so what do they do? Okay, it'd be one thing if you go out and you get a kind of a no-brainer hire, right? A guy that's on everyone's list, you know? But they don't. They get a guy from the CFL, the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, that was a bit of a head-scratcher, wasn't it?
And he hasn't been involved in the NFL since, what, 2004?
2004. Can you imagine how much the NFL has changed since 2004?
So what are they doing? And on top of that, I mean, Chicago's a tough town. They expect you to win. They were winning. They're bringing the coach in thinking he's going to be the difference. Personally, I don't trust Jay Cutler. He's a volatile quarterback, right?
Yep.
I don't trust Brandon Marshall. He produces, but off the field, he could be a knucklehead. And then, you know, Matt Forte is a little long in the tooth at running back. Their defense is older. Brian Urlacher's gone.
Right.
I don't know that this is a team that is poised to make a run in the next couple of years. Yet you fire a coach at 10-6, and you expect this guy to come in and do something. So I'm giving him 2 years, Bill. 2 years, over under.
Either the Chicago Bears saw something in Mark Trestman, and he's like the biggest secret in the NFL now, or they really just missed the ball and hired anyone that would, you know, come coach because they know it's going to be a rebuilding process over the next couple of years. Because I don't think Mark Trestman interviewed for any of these other coaching vacancies. You know, Andy Reid was linked to a couple different teams.
Sure.
You know,
Gus Ken Bradley was.
Right, Gus Bradley was.
Marone was.
Bruce Aaron, right, exactly. I don't know any other team that brought Mark Trestman in for an interview.
I have no idea. So he gets my vote. We'll see what happens.
Anyway, you can give us a call at 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Let us know who you think the first of this group of coaches will be to get fired this year. That's a pretty interesting question there, Todd. So you have Mark Trestman, and I'm going to stick with Gus Bradley down there in Jacksonville. Bill Enright and Todd DeVries hanging out with you here on Patriots.com Radio. We're really just getting started here, folks. Keep it here. We'll be back with more Football Nation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Five shows before the start of week one. So today we are doing our off-season recap show. And Todd, a big part of that NFL off-season is, of course, the NFL draft. We were lucky enough to attend this year. We had a blast at Radio City.
Absolutely. It was quite the spectacle. And it's always interesting to see kind of what goes on behind the scenes. It's obviously an event made for television. But when you're in the building, there's a lot of other stuff going on that you don't see.
it's a lot of fun being there. And if you're an NFL fan and if you've been to the draft before, please give us a call. Tell us about your experience, 855-728-7500, or email us webradio@patriots.com. But it's fun to be there live and in person, because what you see is you see gatherings, groups, fans kind of coming together. Even if you don't know each other, you see the Miami Dolphin fans up in that top left corner, the New York Jet fans all kind of collect in the middle of the upper tier. You have the Giant fans, you have Buffalo Bill fans, New England Patriot fans, you know, Chicago Bear fans. People from all over come to the NFL draft, and they really kind of group together based on the fan base. So what you see is, when the New York Jets are on the clock, you see the Miami Dolphin fans start talking trash. You see the Patriot fans start talking trash to them. When the Giants are on the clock, the Jet fans are yelling. It's just a lot of fun, and like you said, Todd, you see a lot of stuff when you're there that you don't get to see behind, that you don't get to see when you're watching on TV, and I think it makes it so much more exciting, so much more entertaining, just from a pure fan perspective.
Well, let's get one thing straight. When the Jets are on the clock, everyone's yelling at them.
That's true.
Every fan base is yelling at the Jets fans. But, you know, you're right. You know, when the Dallas is on the clock, you saw a group of Eagles fans booing them. And
yep.
When Dallas made their pick, they were kind of laughing at the Dallas pick, and then vice versa. So it's interesting, and you don't catch a lot of that on television. It was almost like a European soccer match. You know what I mean? Like, there was chanting going on and echoing around in Radio City. It was kind of cool.
And now, Todd, we were there working for footballnation.com and covering the NFL draft and kind of evaluating and analyzing everything that was going on. But, you know, you and I are both football fans, and you love college football, so you were very interested in seeing, you know, which players were going where. And it's really kind of cool just to walk around. You know, there's a lot of downtime, so we were walking around. You go upstairs, you go outside in the lobby area, and you take pictures with the Super Bowl trophy, and there's different player displays with jerseys and some autograph signings, and it's just cool to kind of walk around and see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's also interesting to kind of rub shoulders with, NFL royalty. You know, we had media passes, and down in the little restaurant area where it was kind of media only, I mean, you're standing next to Deion Sanders. And, oh, by the way, here comes Barry Sanders walking in the door. And
right.
There's Chris Berman and hey, Mel Kiper's, you know, getting a bagel over at the bagel station. And, you know, Nick Saban, the Alabama coach, is there. You know, they're all there. Everyone's there talking. It's a celebration of the sport. And
what?
That's what Bill was doing. He was yelling like that the whole time.
I was.
And then what made it even more interesting, though, was when the NFL royalty, there was a spot, Bill, if you remember, where they kind of had to cross the public lobby to get to the actual
limos auditorium outside.
Yeah, and that's where they interacted with the fans, and you'd see all the crazy, crazy fans. And that's when the security guards had to go into overdrive.
Now, there were some crazy and dedicated fans there dressing up in kind of like these outrageous outfits. But, you know, you don't have to be that hardcore to enjoy yourself at the NFL draft. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you like the NFL or if your team has a really good pick one year, you know, now it's the Patriots. The Patriots rarely pick in the first round anymore because Belichick's always trading them. But my point is you should try to get down to the NFL draft. It's pretty cool to be there.
If anything else, just to make fun of the Jets fans.
There you go.
Because the one pick that got the most reaction was not a first-round pick. We were there for the first two nights, right, Bill?
Yeah.
And the one pick that got the most reaction was Geno Smith, second pick. I have to admit, when the Geno Smith pick came down, Bill, I was worried about stuff coming raining down from the upper decks.
Like some batteries being
thrown. I don't know, whatever. It was like the place exploded because more than half of the fans who were non-Jets fans were kind of laughing and kind of also at the same time felt sorry for Geno Smith because, you know, his career's ruined right from the start.
Right.
And then you had the Jets fans, and they didn't know how to react either because, on one hand, Geno Smith was like the big-name guy that slipped into the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, we got him. We got the big-name guy. We need a quarterback.
Right.
But then, like, 10 seconds later, they're like, but we're the Jets, and we're going to screw it up. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, it was just it was classic. But that's the one moment that that I'll remember. I think you actually you had the film running on that, and you turned the camera back into the upper deck, and you were zooming in on people. That's a classic video you can find on footballnation.com.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find that GIF I made and tweet out the link.
You remember the one guy that I think he made like a Vine video, one of those 7-second loop videos.
Yeah.
The guy where he was just like, he put his head, he had like, he was bald, and he like put his head on his forehead and was just going, no!
Yes. It was classic stuff. I think his girlfriend next to him was like cheering and like trying to like hug him in celebration. I'm trying to find the video right now.
I know what you're saying, but that's what I'm talking about, is the Jets fans were split because...
And he was, like, crying? Oh,
like,
it was so funny.
Because, like, you know, the girlfriend, she probably heard, hey, Geno Smith's still available. I wonder who's going to
be.
Maybe Nate will be the Jets. And so when she heard the name, she probably recognized the name and went crazy. And meanwhile, he's just going, oh, my God, you know, no, we're gonna screw it up.
She's kind of hot, too. I'm trying to find it. Where the heck is it? Here we go. Jets fan GIF reaction to the Geno Smith selection. I'm going to tweet this out right now at Bill Enright. I'll mention that we're on Patriots.com radio, but you have to take a look at this GIF. Yeah, his girlfriend is celebrating, and then she kind of looks at him and she goes, oh, he's crying. Or it's classic stuff. Very classic stuff. I'm going to tweet this out right now, Todd.
All right.
So anyway, let's talk about the picks for a second here.
Well, let's talk about some of the picks in the AFC East, because the first quarterback to go wasn't Geno Smith. It was E.J. Manuel, of all people, the Florida State quarterback, who, quite frankly, I watch a lot of college football, Bill. I was completely unimpressed with E.J. Manuel. He was one of those guys where every preseason you'd say, well, this is the year E.J. Manuel's going to take the Seminoles to the national title. And he never did it. And he didn't come close to doing it. Very, very inconsistent player. I just don't understand why he's a first-round draft pick. Don't get it. This was far from a season from a year ago where you had Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill all going in the first round. This was the complete opposite of that. And for the Bills to reach like they did, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that surprised a lot of people because, like you mentioned, Todd, there was a lot of speculation that Doug Marrone would go after his quarterback from Syracuse, Ryan Nassib. Nassib ended up falling to the fourth round, got drafted by the New York Giants. But no one really saw E.J. Manuel being the first quarterback taken, so that was a little surprising, I think, to a lot of people. The first overall pick was Eric Fisher from Central Michigan, correct?
Yep.
And that was the first time that a quarterback wasn't taken first overall. That was since 2008 when Jake Long was picked by the Miami Dolphins. So already the Kansas City Chiefs, Todd, we mentioned that they have a new head coach in Andy Reid. We mentioned that they have a brand new quarterback, a much more capable and competent quarterback than Matt Castle last year. They brought in Alex Smith. And now they have the first overall pick, Eric Fisher, to help strengthen that offensive line. So the Chiefs are certainly getting a lot of hype this offseason, aren't they?
Absolutely. They're kind of that sexy sleeper team that the media always tries to identify, you know, who's going to make the big push, the big surprise playoff team this year. And the Chiefs are certainly getting a lot of love at the moment.
But our good friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com says, hold on, wait a minute. The Chiefs, this hype, the hype is unreal. All right, get off the hype train. Don't get on it. He's telling everyone to calm down on the Chiefs. 7.5 wins is what Vegas is giving them right now. That's just too much. Kerry's saying maybe 4 or 5 wins or maybe 6 wins. So what do you say we bring on Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts to talk about why he thinks the hype for all the Chiefs this offseason is just way overblown?
It's cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, so our coworker, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, joins us right here on Football Nation. Kerry, what's going on, my man? Thanks for coming in.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. And you know what the best part is about August football is that every draft pick is going to the Hall of Fame and every team's going to the Super Bowl, guys.
That's
it's
right.
It's the time of the year.
Well, you have to be excited. You have to be enthusiastic about the upcoming season. I mean, no one wants to be a pessimist in August.
No, not at all, not at all. But, you know, we do things a little differently at the Cold Hard Football Facts, right? Sometimes, you know, we We look for storylines people aren't looking at, and sometimes we, there are teams nobody's looking at that we think you really need to look at. And then there's times, that you said, in August, that if certain teams seem to catch a wave of hype, and this is now they're the next great team, or the up-and-coming team, and for whatever reason, that team seems to me to be the Chiefs. We're all here about the Chiefs are going to playoffs. The Chiefs are going to win 8 games. The Chiefs, Andy Reid's going to remake that team in the space of a year. Alex Smith is going to be the next great, the next Lynn Dawson in Kansas City. And I just think, guys, this is a team that will be better. They'll be better at quarterback. Andy Reid is obviously a proven winner coach. But this was not only a bad team last year. They were not only the worst team in football. They were the worst team in the history, the 53-year history of the Kansas City Chiefs franchise. They have a long way to go, guys.
Now, Kerry, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, so I think we're in agreement, Kerry, that there's a lot of hype about them making the playoffs. I think that they'll be extremely improved, but like you said, they are starting so low on the totem pole that I think going from maybe a 2-14 season to a 6-10 type thing would be a step in the right direction, but it certainly isn't playoff bound.
Hey, if I'm a Chiefs fan and we go 6-10 or 7-9 this season, I'm feeling good, right? That's a long way.
Right.
We're talking about a team, guys, that has scored 423 points over the last two seasons. The two worst offenses in Chiefs history. They scored 212 last year, or in 2011, and they scored 211 points in 2012, almost the same exact number, 1 point off. Compare that to the Patriots, they scored 557 points last year. The Chiefs haven't scored that many points in nearly the last 40 football games going back to 2010. That's just one problem. And then defensively, they had the worst pass defense. If you go by one of our favorite stats, defensive passer rating, critical measure of team success, their defensive passer rating last year was 99. It was the worst in football and the worst in the history of the Chiefs franchise. So you combine the worst offense in franchise history with the worst pass defense in franchise history. You have the worst team in franchise history. So I just think it's one thing to be excited, but I think you've got to be realistic about what's going to happen. Now, clearly, new coach, new quarterback, first overall draft pick that can be the anchor of your offensive line for years to come. There are some assets at that team on that team, but I don't get why Vegas has been winning 7.5 to 8 games this year. That to me seems completely irrational. Let's look at guys. If you look at the 2007 Dolphins that went 1-15, and the next year they went 11-5. Remember that? That was one of the great turnarounds.
Yeah.
In NFL history. But that was like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. But that team lost a lot of close games. That team wasn't blown out week after week. That wasn't the ugly, awful, inefficient team in all phases of the game that the Chiefs were last year. So I think you just got to temper your enthusiasm a little. But I think it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see if Andy Reid can rebuild what he had in Philly, which, let's face it, the Eagles for a good 10 years were the best team year in and year out of the NFC, right?
Right.
I think the Chiefs, would love to have a decade run where at least they're in the playoffs every year. That'd be quite an accomplishment, but it's not happening this year.
Now, Kerry, last offseason you were very vocal about Alex Smith getting benched and saying he was the greatest quarterback to ever get benched in the NFL. Now that he's going to take over for the Kansas City Chiefs, how many wins do you think that adds up to based on the fact that Matt Castle and the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback play was so pitiful, such an awful, absurd.
Don't forget Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn was back there under center.
Good Lord.
Ricky Stanzi, I think. I mean, it was terrible last year. So how many wins do you think just Alex Smith can bring to this team?
Well, before I get into how many wins he'll bring to the table, just a couple of cold hard football facts on the quarterbacking in Kansas City last year between Castle and Quinn. Everyone made fun of the Jets last year, right? Mark Sanchez was terrible. The Jets last year produced 14 touchdowns out of the quarterback position, passing and rushing, and against 28 turnovers. So they had twice as many, the Jets did, almost all of them Mark Sanchez, twice as many turnovers as touchdowns out of the quarterback position last year.
Okay.
The Chiefs had three times as many turnovers.
Wow.
They had 9 total touchdowns, guys, rushing and passing out of the quarterback position and 27 turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles. In this day and age, that's almost impossibly bad. In an era where guys come in and, can throw for 30 touchdowns, right out of the gate and can put up a 95, 98, 100 passer rating like RG3 did last year, to be as bad as the Chiefs were in this day and age is almost almost impossible to believe. Like, how can he be that bad at a position that the NFL now makes, you know, as easy to play as it's ever been? Just brutally awful. So with that said, Alex Smith comes in. I mean, instantly, you know, it's a game all about the quarterback. He should make a difference of 4 or 5 wins. You know, the defense improves moderately. He's definitely going to improve the most important position on the field. My one caveat, guys, is that when he played in San Francisco, remember, he was a bust, guys, and number one overall pick in 2005. And it took what? It took a new coach in 2011 and Jim Harbaugh to make him a legit NFL quarterback. And he had a season and a half of great, great production. And then what happens? He gets benched, despite that production, for Colin Kaepernick, who keeps the ball rolling. And to me, that is a tribute to Jim Harbaugh, who is probably the best quarterback coach in football today. You look at what he did with Andrew Luck at Stanford, and then turning around Alex Smith's career and making a small school guy like Colin Kaepernick a star instantly in the NFL. That, to me, is a great tribute to Jim Harbaugh's ability to coach quarterbacks. And we know Andy Reid's a great coach, but will he be able to get that same production out of a guy we thought was a bust in Alex Smith? I don't know. It's going to be one of the great storylines to follow this season. I mean, I'm rooting for Alex Smith. I'd like to see him play well, but I just wonder how much of that performance was a great, great influence of the best quarterback coach in football today.
Kerry, in addition to the Chiefs, who are some of the other overhyped teams this year?
Overhyped. You know what? I don't want to. I think Denver. People are penciling in Denver as if they're a gimme for the Super Bowl, and I don't see that, guys. That defense struggled a bit down the stretch. You know, they got toasted badly, as we all saw in the playoffs against the Baltimore Ravens. Because Flacco made everybody look bad last postseason. I am not ready to pencil in the Denver Broncos. And let's not forget, they got beat up by the Texans and Patriots last year. Two teams they have to compete against again this year to get to the Super Bowl. And I think people were to that end, they're dismissing the Patriots too readily. The Patriots win, are almost guaranteed 12 wins a year. I mean, they are just a victory machine. And, you know, with all the attrition at wide receiver, I can see the Broncos losing again to the Patriots in the regular season and struggling to get through the playoffs. I am not penciling in the Broncos. I think people are just giving them a little too much credit that they don't deserve. And some of their flaws they had last year were exposed down the stretch.
Well, Kerry, last year you came on our show early in the season, and you told us that Seattle was a team to watch. And this was when Russell Wilson was just kind of getting started. And you proved to be pretty correct on that one. Your stats were telling you that the trend was going with Seattle, and they proved you to be correct. What do you think about Seattle this year? Are they going to take it another step further? What do you see from the Seahawks?
Well, we haven't posted our predictions yet, Todd, but I can tell you, most likely, our NFC champion is going to be Seattle. I like what they did last year. I like, one, Russell Wilson's just a brilliant young quarterback. Nobody saw, I mean, if anybody saw what he was able to do as a rookie, he wouldn't have lasted to the third round, obviously, right? Just brilliant production. Not only that, very efficient, put the ball in the end zone a lot, turned it over very little. And what we do, we look at certain efficiency indicators at Quarterback Football Facts. We call them our quality stats. And there are certain numbers you look at. You can see a team rising before most people do, if you just look at the right numbers, the right quality stats. And they were hugely efficient offensively. They were making opponents very inefficient defensively. They ended the year with the number one scoring defense in football, of course. And at the end of the year, I mean, they were beating up teams. They just went through a period there down the stretch where they were really beating up teams. And they were, you know, a couple plays away from, playing for a shot to go to the Super Bowl. I think that's a dangerous, dangerous team. A great defense and a great young quarterback is deadly in any era. And, you know, I just like the way they've come together. They do nothing wrong, guys. In fact, they finished number one across the board last season in our quality stats power rankings. And what that is your average performance across the board and all the indicators we look at, they were top to bottom, the most statistically stout team in football. I think very dangerous, and I think they're kind of being overlooked a little bit by a lot of folks.
Kerry, you mentioned the Seattle Seahawks. How about the San Francisco 49ers in that NFC West division? And then you throw in two teams that I think are on the coming up, St. Louis Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, the Seahawks were 3-3 in the division last year, but the Rams were 4-1-1, actually the best division record of those four teams. So do we put the NFC West as the toughest division in football?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? For a long time, it was the worst division in football. And there was a period there, guys. Let's get the exact years. Like 2008 to 2011, where they had combined the entire division over the course of four seasons had like six quality wins.
Ugh.
Which means beating an opponent with a winning record. Combined, over the course of several years, they couldn't beat anybody except each other. They were horrible. They were in, when they did beat teams, they were only beating bad teams. And clearly that changed last year. Pete Carroll made a big impact. Jim Harbaugh obviously made a big impact. The Rams have played well on defense. If Sam Bradford can ever live up to the hype, that's a potentially good team. They definitely have a playoff caliber defense. Bradford has to live up to the hype of the number one pick. Arizona, guys, they had a Super Bowl defense with the worst quarterbacking in football. They finished 32nd last year in all the efficiency indicators we look at in the passing game. 32nd in passing yards per attempt, 32nd in real quarterback rating, 32nd in offensive pass rating. Meanwhile, number one in defensive pass rating, number one in defensive real quarterback rating, the best pass defense of football. Yet, because of their quarterbacking situation, they go 5-11. Wow. If they can finally resolve the quarterbacking situation, you're talking about a team that truly, truly in Arizona, truly has a Super Bowl caliber defense. So it's great. We talk about the AFC North being kind of the modern black and blue division, if you will, with Pittsburgh and Baltimore and teams like that. But the best defensive football in America right now is played out west. It's played in the NFC West.
Kerry, we certainly appreciate you joining us here on FootballNationPatriots.com radio. You can follow Kerry on Twitter at FootballFacts, and of course, check out his stuff at ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Kerry, we're excited to start the season, and we look forward to our weekly chats here on Football Nation.
Guys, it's got to be fun. Keep up the great work, and look forward to listening to you guys all year.
Talk to you soon. Thanks again, Kerry.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kerry. So there you have it, Bill. I mean, there's nothing better than Kerry's information. Not only in the preseason, when they start making their predictions, which are going to happen here very soon in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But then once the numbers start rolling in September, and they have four or five, six games under their belt, and they plug all those numbers into his database, and it spits out all the trends.
Yeah.
That's when he becomes like on fire.
Yep.
I mean, he came on the show last year. Remember, he was talking about the Seahawks. And early in the year, remember, the Seahawks, we weren't too sure what was going on with them. And he was right, man. He said, watch out for these guys. And, man, they made a nice run through the playoffs. And they probably should have gone further than they did.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that game against the Atlanta Falcons, maybe the key for the Seattle Seahawks to succeed in the postseason is to make sure that they're playing those games at home in that loud stadium, that loud, wet, cold, dreary, crazy stadium up there in Seattle. I think that's the key in order for the Seahawks to advance in the postseason.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they were undefeated at home.
Two years in a row, I believe.
You might be right. They are very, very difficult to beat in that building. But they finished on a roll, Bill. They won seven out of their last eight games after starting the year 4-4. And again, that's when Kerry was talking about them, when they were 4-4. So,
right.
So we love Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts.
Well, listen, we're going to wrap up this segment, but don't go anywhere because in the next hour, we're going to start off the show with our AFC East preview. We're going to break down the rookies from the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, all the opponents of the New England Patriots, Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. Give you guys something to look for as we head into the first week of preseason. That's all coming up next right here on Football Nation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Football Nation, the pulse of NFL fans everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, hanging out with you with our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins, who's doing a terrific job with the music today. Huh, Kev? You're really on fire.
I'm trying to be here. I'm trying to bring my A-game, first show of the season.
I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Now, Todd, we kind of like to focus at least one segment throughout the show on the New England Patriots. After all, we're very honored to be on the New England Patriots radio network on patriots.com. So today, we figured it would be a good idea, with the first week of preseason games coming at you, to kind of give Patriot fans something to look at when you're looking at the Miami Dolphins or the New York Jets or the Buffalo Bills. Give you guys something to look for, at least one interesting thing to take away or to at least look for in the stat sheet after the game.
Yeah, you know, and the Patriots have had such a stranglehold on this division for the last decade. And good news, Patriots fans, there's not a lot to worry about the next couple of years, in my opinion. Because look, just start with the quarterbacks, Bill.
Right.
The quarterbacks in the Patriots division are the butt fumbler or Geno Smith in New York. Right? Are you worried about either of those guys?
That sounded very dirty, Todd.
Why don't you say it, Kevin? Say it so it's not dirty.
The butt fumbler.
That's what he is.
Kevin likes that word.
I don't want anything near my butt, thank you very much.
So, the Jets. How about Buffalo Bills? They went out and got a rookie quarterback who's used to playing in warm climate temperatures and was unproven at the college level, in my opinion.
Or Kevin Cobb.
Oh, yeah, or you could go with Kevin Cobb, Mr. Glass. Kevin Cobb, who tripped over a piece of rubber running between fields last week and
sprained
his knee.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
All right, so the most formidable quarterback you're dealing with in the AFC East is Ryan Tannehill. And, yes, he does show potential. Still, a second-year quarterback. You know, he's still a couple years away probably from turning into something to really worry about. Agree?
Totally agree.
All right. And then the Patriots have Tom Brady.
So what you're kind of saying is, even though Wes Welker's gone, Brandon Lloyd's gone, Aaron Hernandez is gone, Danny Woodhead's gone, Rob Gronkowski's injured, the Patriots still have Tom Brady. They still have Bill Belichick. So Pat fans have absolutely nothing to worry about because the rest of their division sucks.
Yeah, now, so if you're talking about the division,
yeah,
agree. Now, when you get out of the division in the playoffs, that might be another story. You know, I don't think they're going to, you know, steamroll teams like they have done in the past. You know, it's been a while since they won a Super Bowl, but you get the point.
Right.
So that's my opinion there. I mean, if the Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez, all the bad news had happened like during the season all at once, that would be a challenge. But they have months to overcome these challenges during the offseason. They're going to have a plan in place. And yeah, they might have to lean on some rookies here and there or some free agents, but they're going to figure it out. They had all offseason to figure most of this out.
All right, so in addition to the Patriots playing the Eagles tomorrow night at 7:30 on NFL Network for the preseason week one, Pat fans can also, if they wanted to, check in to see the New York Jets take on the Detroit Lions or the Miami Dolphins play the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills play the Indianapolis Colts. So let's start off with that Dolphins-Jaguars game.
Ugh.
For the Pat fans out there, what do you want to see, or what's interesting?
Bill, every time these are one of those this is a game that's played every preseason because of the close proximity of these teams.
Yeah,
is it just me, or is it every stinking year when they play in the preseason? It's in like a monsoon. It's always like pouring rain, and the turf is clumping up, and it's a mud fest, and it's the preseason, and you're just scratching your head, going, why on earth are they playing this game?
Yeah, that's that Florida weather for you.
But that aside, maybe it won't be rainy today there. Who knows? Well, we got a little sneak peek of the Dolphins last week against the Cowboys.
We did, but not really.
Yeah, not really. But one guy that we wanted to keep an eye on was Lamar Miller, who also has a little injury since then. I mean, what was your take on Lamar Miller? He only had two carries last week for, I think, 21 yards. Is that true?
Right, so Lamar Miller is taking over for Reggie Bush, so a lot of people want to know what to expect out of the second-year running back who only had a handful of carries last season because Reggie Bush was still there.
Right.
Now the Dolphins are giving the full reins to Lamar Miller in that backfield. Daniel Thomas, to me, is no threat to take over, so it's going to be the Lamar Miller show. On the first handoff of the game, of the Hall of Fame game, when the Dolphins played against the Cowboys, Miller fumbled the ball. Now, they credited it to Ryan Tannehill. But I really think that Lamar Miller has to be an athlete. And even if the handoff is a little low, you have to hold on to the football. Now, he bounced back into the game, and he had one carry for 10 yards and the other one for 11 yards. And he looked great. He looked electrifying. He looked fast. And he really exploded through the hole to pick up first downs on each of his runs. But then that was it. That's all we saw out of Lamar Miller. He was done for the day. He took off his pads, took off his helmet, put a hat on, and watched the rest of the game.
Okay, so it's safe to say that during the preseason, of course, you're not going to give your starting running back a lot of looks, but that's a guy to keep an eye on because he does show flashes of big potential.
Absolutely.
Okay. What else with the Dolphins are we looking at? Mike Wallace isn't going to play tonight, right?
I don't know. Tomorrow night.
Friday night.
Friday night, yeah. He didn't play in that Hall of Fame game, and I don't know what the word is right now if he's going to be active for the game against the Jaguars.
Okay, well, again, I know he's been a little bit banged up. I'm sure it's precautionary.
A groin
he's
injury.
Obviously another guy to watch.
He missed the last 2 weeks of practice,
yeah. But
he returned this past week, and I don't know if he's going to play against the Jaguars, but I would like to see him out there with Tannehill. I mean, if you missed the last 2 weeks of practice, how much chemistry can they have really gotten during OTAs and mini camps when you're running around with, you know, shorts and a t-shirt and you don't have pads on and you don't have defenders breathing down your neck and, you know, you really can't run the kind of routes that you normally would with, you know, defenses playing against you. So I think that's a major factor going into the season. How much chemistry can Ryan Tannehill and Mike Wallace really get basically in the next 3 weeks just in time for week one? Forget about tomorrow night's game or Friday night's game. Are they going to have enough chemistry to play week one?
Mike Wallace got that big deal. He's got the big mound of cash. What's going to motivate him this year, Bill?
5 years, $60 million with $30 million guaranteed. And again, he's down in Miami. It's not like he's playing in Cincinnati or Buffalo or Minnesota where he passed up apparently on a $75 million contract. He's down there in Miami, a party town, a young 27, good-looking guy that makes a lot of money. I mean, you're partying it up down there, Miami. I don't care who you are. That's what got Chad Johnson into trouble. And he doesn't even drink alcohol. Chad Johnson got thrown off the Miami Dolphins for getting into trouble, some kind of assault charge with his wife, and Chad Johnson doesn't even drink alcohol. So can you imagine what a guy like Mike Wallace is doing down there, partying up, living it up with his fellow Miami residents?
Yeah, I can't imagine. So for tomorrow night, we're not sure if we're going to see either of those guys play too much, but they're guys right. We want to watch in the preseason.
Exactly.
All right, so let's turn our attention to, why don't we go with the Jets next?
Of course, why not? Here's the thing with the New York Jets. Rex Ryan, this is his last year. I don't know if you like
what
Rex
Ryan.
What
are the Jets doing bringing him back?
I have no idea.
Seriously, what is going on there? Why don't you just blow it up? Why didn't they just blow it up?
That's being a jackass.
It sure is, Rex. It sure is.
What are they doing? You know, blow it up. Start over. The fans would be okay with that.
You know, they fired Mike Tannenbaum in the offseason. They hired John Idzik. And it's very clear that Rex Ryan wants to go with Mark Sanchez as the starting quarterback.
Well, Rex Ryan, he's trying to save his job. So then, what you've got here is you've got a new GM who's trying to kind of rebuild the team. He'd like to see, you know, he wants to see what Geno Smith can do, right? And then you've got a head coach who wants to win 9 games somehow by some miracle. And the only way to potentially do that is with a veteran quarterback.
Not Geno Smith.
So
it's a catch-22 for big boy Rex.
How is it that some franchises just screw it up every year? Every year.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Listen, the Jets were off to a good start. Like, they made it to back-to-back AFC Championship games with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. Obviously, their defense was so much better, and Darrelle Revis was at his prime, and I get all that. But you know what? They were there. And to see them be there and now be here in such a short amount of time, it's like it was planned that way. Like, it's like they built that new stadium, MetLife Stadium. They needed to sell PSLs and sell their tickets, which, by the way, they still haven't done. So what did they do? They went out and got Rex Ryan, who is a media conglomerate in New York, and, you know, the papers love him, the TV loves him, the old reporters love him, and the fans loved him because he said what he wanted, and he cursed a lot, and he, you know, let's go get a goddamn snack, that kind of thing. Then you go out and you get Tim Tebow, another media circus into town. To me, it was like the Jets were building themselves up for failure, even though they had something good going on.
Let's do this, all right? I don't want to turn this into a fantasy discussion because we're far from that.
Yeah.
But I have FFChamps.com. Is, you know, we do the fantasy show on Tuesdays, right?
Right.
And you guys have an awesome depth chart on FFChamps.com for the skill position.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the depth chart, and I want you to tell me the year that the player probably had his best year. Just ballpark it.
I don't know if I can do that.
But you know what I mean, okay?
Yeah.
This is going to prove a point. New York Jets starting quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
His best year? I don't know.
Like 3 years ago, right? Whatever.
Right, sure. Maybe his rookie year.
It was a while ago.
It was his rookie year when they wouldn't let him pass and he only handed the ball off.
Right. Okay. So the backup is Geno Smith.
It has improved, you know.
All right. Nothing. Starting running back, Chris Ivory.
Has maybe one or two good games with the New Orleans Saints. Hasn't
right,
done
games, not years.
Games, no.
Backup,
no, games.
Mike Goodson. He's a top backup.
He was with the Raiders and the Panthers for a while. Yeah. Maybe
scary player,
one,
right? Yeah,
maybe
right.
Maybe he had one good game.
Well, if he doesn't pan out, they always could turn to their third running back, Bilal Powell.
Yeah, I think he's like more like a fullback.
Okay. Keep on laughing because I'm going to the tight ends. Their starting tight end, Kellen Winslow.
Now, Patriot fans remember him last year from being on the pass.
He was on the team for like 14 minutes.
He collected a
soldier.
He collected a game check, and then he got
a soldier.
Then he bounced out of town.
Well, if he doesn't work out, don't worry, Jets fans, because Jeff Cumberland is your backup tight end. Okay, he's a downfield threat, just like Jimmy Graham.
Is he the guy that invented Cumberland Farms?
He might be. All right, let's turn our attention to the wide receivers because this is the best part, fans out there, Patriots fans. Is this trio going to scare you? Starting wide receiver number one, Santonio Holmes.
Might not even play.
Right.
For the
best
first
year
month.
Was the best year for him was 2004 probably.
When he was with the Steelers.
Right. Backup, Braylon Edwards.
His rookie year when he was with the Browns, he caught that 16 touchdowns. And that was it.
A century ago.
If you add up all of Braylon Edwards' touchdowns for the last 5 years, I bet he doesn't equal what he had as a rookie.
All right. Get the point. All right. Does that prove a point? What the hell are these guys doing?
It proves a point that for any of Patriot fans that are hitting the panic button, like, you got to be kidding me. Just because Gronk is hurt and you don't have Welker, do you realize who else is in your division? Do you hear the players that we were just discussing on the Jets? Like, it's a joke. The Patriots have it so easy.
Well, here's
the
deal.
You have Brady, you have Belichick, you have nothing to worry about.
What the Patriots got to do, they just need to dominate the division, which they should do, okay? They need to get to the playoffs. In the second half of the year, they'll get Gronk back, hopefully.
Right.
And by then, you know, they will have obviously figured out all of these new players and who's going to, you know, do what. And you might have a rookie shine at the wide receiver position, whatever. Defense, solid. I think their defense is going to be better than it has been in the last couple of years. And they'll be okay for the stretch run. Because the playoffs, right now, if I'm a Patriots fan, I am a little worried about the playoffs, you know, a little bit. More so than the division. So I'm not worried. I'm not hitting the panic button at all.
You know,
as long as number 12 is under center, I'm okay.
On our Fantasy Football Champs show, Fred Kirsch from PFW in Progress joined us, and he made a really good point that if Patriot fans want Gronk to be back week one, that's fine. Obviously, you want him to be healthy because he's a big part of the team. But there's no saying that if the Patriots waited, you know, kept Gronk on the sidelines, there's no saying that even if he did come back healthy 100%, in the second half of the year, there's no saying that he'll stay that way for the playoffs.
Yeah,
I thought that was
right
a pretty interesting statement.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, who did we not cover? The Bills?
Who are the Jets playing this week?
So what are we looking for in this
Jets game? I don't know. Maybe a receiver? Who's going to catch the ball for the New York Jets this year? Forget about running the ball for a second. That's a pretty simple concept, and they still have a pretty decent offensive line. But is Antonio Cromartie going to play wide receiver? Milner was a first-round pick.
Well,
I don't even know if he'll be able to play tomorrow.
But here's the—I mean, not that we believe in him, but all eyes are going to be on Geno Smith this preseason.
You know what Rex Ryan said the other day? I almost threw up in my mouth. He said, oh, we got a great game on Friday, you know, Megatron versus the mega cornerback in Antonio Cromartie. I literally almost gagged when he said Megatron versus the mega corner. Like, give it up, dude. It's the preseason. Calvin Johnson is not going to play more than 3 snaps, all right? Give us something else to look for.
Well, let's move on from the Jets, which
we
get more mileage out of the Jets on this show than any other team. Let's go with the Buffalo Bills taking on the Colts on Sunday, a 1:30 kickoff on Sunday. Kind of an interesting time for a preseason game.
Yeah.
We'll be watching EJ Manuel. What else are we looking for there? Robert Woods, the wide receiver out of USC, who I think it's a damn shame he wound up in Buffalo because this guy has some serious talent.
That's your boy, right?
I like him a lot. I cringed on draft day when we were in Radio City and he goes to Buffalo because I just don't think, especially with EJ Manuel tossing the rock, I just don't think you're going to see his potential, at least this year.
You know, I think there's a lot to look for here with the Buffalo Bills. One, they have a new head coach in Doug Marrone. What kind of game plan is he going to do? We know that they want to give the ball to C.J. Spiller, but we saw what Spiller's capable of doing last season. With the Buffalo Bills, the interesting thing to me, you got to go back to the quarterback. Is it really going to be Kevin Cobb? Do you take A.J. Manuel 15th overall and then put Kevin Cobb under center to start the year, or do you want to, you know, start your career as a Buffalo?
Here's the difference. Here's the difference, and of course we got to come back to the Jets. It always comes back to the Jets. The difference between the Jets and the Bills decided to blow it up. They got rid of their head coach, right?
Right.
They got Doug Marrone in, and they got the rookie quarterback in. Now, I might not agree with the rookie quarterback that they selected, but at least they're going for it, you know? So they have a coach that's going to grow with the rookie QB, right? So they do have options. They could rest E.J. Manuel a little bit and try to put Cobb in there if they want to, if E.J.'s not quite ready. You know what I mean? They have at least some options where the organization might agree upon the path. Whereas the Jets, we talked about it, you got the yin and the yang. You got Rex Ryan probably wanting a vet, and you got the GM wanting the youngster.
Didn't the Buffalo Bills GM like retire like 3 days after the draft?
Did he? I don't remember.
I'm trying to look it up. I think I remember a story saying like it's a real good sign. It's a real good sign when Buddy Nix calls it quits like 2 days after the draft.
What? So he
Buddy Nix,
E.J. Manuel, and got the hell out of Dodge.
2 weeks after the NFL draft, Buddy Nix steps down as Buffalo Bills general manager. Now this is Buddy Nix is the same guy.
He just hired the coach.
That not only that, but didn't he get prank called last year? By like those two kids that like called his office and put him on record with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM, and they both thought that they were calling each other and like they were kind of just like hanging out on the phone, like BSing, and like they ended the conversation like, "All right, so if you ever want to talk, I guess you know we could talk." This is
the
same
those guys. Those guys, that did that got charged, didn't they?
Did they really?
Yeah,
I better stop my prank calling career.
Yeah. They got charged. I'll have to look it up here. They were charged. Oh, here we go. It says May 29th. They were charged with intentionally intercepting a wire communication and with making a telephone call without disclosing their identity. Wow.
I thought that was brilliant. I feel bad for those guys, but I thought it was great. What they did was they called the Buffalo Bills and said, "Hey, we're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Please hold for the GM." Then they called the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and said, "Hey, we're the Buffalo Bills. Please hold for the GM." And they put them on the phone together.
So here's the deal. If they're convicted, and who knows if they'll get convicted, right?
Yeah.
If they're convicted, these two bozos face a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and $500,000 fine.
Oh, my God. Hey, what are you in for? We made some prank calls.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh, okay. So basically you'll do whatever I say.
See, this is why I recap in the off season. I had totally forgotten about this story. I had totally forgotten about it.
No, but the Buddy Nix stepping down just 2 weeks after the draft is too much. It's too much. You hire a new head coach, then you draft a quarterback who no one thinks deserves to be in the first round. If he doesn't, we'll see. But no one else had him pinned as a first down, let alone
Bill,
the first
quarterback.
Bill,
you and I were in Radio City, and when they announced that name, we were like, what?
Wait, oh, and then
what?
And then he walked right past me. I'm like, oh, Mick, Gratz, you deserve it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you walked right in front of us.
E.J. Manuel walks right in front of us. I'm like, yo, congrats, man. You definitely deserve it.
Yeah.
I was holding back my laughs.
Wow. The AFC East, baby.
Kevin, give us the pulse of the fans up there. I mean, are Patriot fans really worried about this year?
No, I don't think they're as worried as you're making them out to be. At least
I don't know, man. I read
a
lot of
callers.
No. You can't listen. The callers for PFW and Progress and those kind of fans, they know their stuff. They're following along in the offseason. I'm talking about those Pat fans that just read the headlines and say, oh, my God, Hernandez, Welker, and Brandon Lloyd are gone. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of those fans out there. I get them all day on Twitter.
No, I agree. If you listen to WEI or 98.5, we've had those two stations down here broadcasting live at training camp pretty much for the last, I'll say, 2 weeks. And I'm with you. You do get a lot of those people.
But do you see where we're coming from? We're trying to tell everyone that you really have nothing to worry about?
I'm trying to answer one of your phone calls, Bill. Hang on.
Oh, my bad.
Well, the domination is going to continue, Bill. But again, if you're a Patriots fan, the good fans, the fans that know what's going on, they don't care about the division. They know they're going to win the division. It's all about getting to that that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is concern there. I can see the trepidation there. But, you know, they just need to stay healthy, get Gronk back, figure out their, you know, their new players and fill in the holes. And I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be right in the mix.
Well, if you are one of those Patriot fans who are a little bit worried,
call
give us a call. 855-728-728. 7500.
I think that was Buddy Nix on the line.
It probably was. I was trying to answer the call and talk to Bill at the same time. It didn't work out.
855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com as well.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
With all this Gronk news, it seems like every couple days we have, like, the Gronk watch that happens.
Right.
He comes out, you know, to practice one day in shorts and a T-shirt. The next day he's not found, and, you know, there's paranoia everywhere.
Not found. What does that mean?
Well, like, he's like, AWOL? you can't find him on the field. Like, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt. Because some days he comes out, sometimes he doesn't.
Okay. Does he come out to the field? Like, he doesn't come out to watch?
No, sometimes he's not out there.
Huh.
So anyway, with all the stuff that's gone on, what do you guys, if I had to put you on the spot, when do you think he makes his return? What week of the NFL season?
Bill, you go first.
Well, they're not going to put him on the pup list, because if they do that, he can't come back until what, week 8, right? So
six.
I'm going to say
I thought it was after 6 weeks.
After 6 weeks,
I think
all
it's
right.
Week 7 he could play.
I don't think they do that. I think they give him the chance to come back week 4.
Okay, so you think he comes back week 4?
Yeah,
Atlanta. Week 4 at Atlanta. You're saying at Atlanta week 4?
At Atlanta week 4.
What September 29th.
Yep.
What about you, Todd?
Well, what's the advantage to putting him on the pup list?
I think it clears
roster spot.
A roster spot, yeah. So you can add another guy.
Right.
Right, but other than that, there's really no advantage.
No, because, like, when he comes, like, say you put him on the pup list, and then all of a sudden after 6 weeks he's eligible to come off and he's healthy, you would have to get rid of somebody or demote somebody to practice squad.
Sure.
That had eligibility.
Or so, you can have him eat a roster spot and hopefully come back.
Exactly. Those are your two options. So.
I don't think he's coming back. I think it's going to be Pup.
Yeah?
Okay.
That's just my gut feeling. I don't know anything. You guys know more than I do.
All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to make my prediction, my bold prediction.
You're going to say he's coming back in the preseason games, right?
No. I think he plays week one.
I think that'd be stupid.
I think he plays week one.
All right.
He's from Buffalo. The stars will align. He'll be back week one.
The stars roll a line. Take it easy, Shakespeare. I mean,
he'll be eating buffalo.
That's what you're relying on here? He's from Buffalo? He's
yeah.
going to play that
No, I had a dream the other night that he played, you know, against Buffalo week one, so I'm going with it.
If Pup is 6 weeks,
yeah,
and he can be back in week 7 at the Jets, that's what I'm just
– I think they
and
have
then
that,
they got the week 10 bye.
Yeah, but
so
they
he's
have
only
that,
playing 3 weeks.
They have that – The you know, being the wishful thinker I am, I'd like to think he'd be back for week one. You know, I'm like 50-50 on it, but I don't think he'll be put on pup.
Okay. It just seems like, you know, all off season it's just bad news 1 month, and then it's like, and then he's feeling better, and then another month later it's something else.
I think if you're going with a really logical approach, I think Bill will probably end up being the closest, because, Bill, if you look at that stretch that kind of kicks off, I think, with that Atlanta game.
Yeah.
They have, like, Atlanta, at Cincy, and this is off the top of my head, and then I think they come home and play the Saints.
Yep, but then at
and
Jets.
That's a really hard three-game stretch.
It
so
is.
If they could somehow get him back for the, like, for the start of that stretch, I think they'd be in good shape.
And you know what else is different about those three games compared to their first three games? Is
what?
Offense.
Yeah.
The Falcons,
yeah, they're
the Bengals,
have to put up some
and
points.
The Saints put up points.
Yeah, the
so
Patriots
the Patriots
are going to
put
points.
Right, the Patriots.
Who cares about these games in September and October?
Well, that's
have
a big...
this guy healthy when it matters.
Yeah,
but like, hey, I Fred Kirsch said it on Tuesday. It's no way of saying that just because he comes back in the second half of the season, no way of saying he's still going to be healthy by the time the postseason rolls around.
I hear you.
But we'll see what happens though. But so far, out of the three predictions, if Bill's comes to fruition, I'd be happy. I think mine's, you know, the rose-colored glasses. I think Todd's the sky's falling, and Bill's somewhere in the middle. So
trust me, mine is not the sky's.
Oh, the
falling.
Sky's falling. If the he skies, goes, if he goes on. Hey, you want to see panic? If he goes on pup, right? If he goes on pup, then you'll see even more panic.
When do they have to do pup? What's the date?
I think it's right before the regular season opener.
Okay.
I think you have like right up until like a couple days before.
See, right. Here's what kind of drives me crazy about some NFL fans. Did the Patriots start 1-2 last year?
No.
They did? They? Yeah, they lost to the Cardinals and lost to the Ravens.
Oh, really?
In the first 3 weeks of the season.
1-2?
I think so.
I'd have to look. I'll look it up.
No, I got it right in front of me.
Fine.
They beat the Titans.
They beat the Titans. They lost to Arizona.
Lost to Baltimore.
And then they were 3-3 at one point.
I think I still mentally just refuse to believe they lost to Arizona and Baltimore, because Baltimore was that crazy. Was the crazy Justin Tucker kick that went like over the upright, and there was that huge uproar. And then the Arizona game was just awful. They got a punt blocked. They still, you know, had a 40-yard field goal to win the game with 4 seconds left that Gostowski shanked. It was just terrible. You're right, though. It was a slow start to the season last year.
They were never 3-3, Todd.
3-3, yep. Lost to Seattle.
Yeah, that, I was at that game out there. That was awful, too. That was the Hail Mary down the middle that Tavon Wilson gave up. He was running down the middle of the field with his back turned to the ball with his hands up in the air praying it would hit him. It was awful. It was terrible. They lost by a point, I think.
Yeah, that's when Richard Sherman said, "You mad, bro?"
Yeah, it was awful. It was in a rainstorm, and I was soaking wet, and I got in the plane, and I was cranky, and I was soaked. It was no good.
Well, you have a baby sound effect that you should be playing, because I hear a lot of whangs coming from you. Whang. It was raining, and I got on the plane.
I swear to God, I put my jacket.
It was raining in Seattle.
I put my jacket in the overhead, and there were like goldfish swimming out of my pocket.
I thought you had a foghorn.
For Seattle.
No.
I have one of those here.
Hang on.
Take your time.
But I also, you guys liked this one the best.
Because that one applies to 17 different teams.
All the birds.
The Cardinals, the Falcons, the Seahawks, the Eagles.
That's right. When the Seahawks lost to the Falcons in the playoffs, you did a double whammy of that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
We got to get a seagull noise in here. We need an NFL team. The NBA's got the Pelicans now. We need
the
seagull.
Pelicans.
Yeah, we need
Pelicans.
You know what you should do, Kevin? After the show tonight when you're doing your homework for us, take that little bird clip and then just say the word of the team after it in your own voice.
So it's like the screw. It's this. It's Eagles.
And there you go. And then you can save the file as, Screeching Eagle, Screeching Seahawk.
I'll just have to Google crazy bird sound effects. And then next show I'll have the toucan and, all that stuff. The blue-footed booby call.
All right, this show is spiraling out of control. Where are we going, Bill?
I think we should take
back.
A break.
Okay.
I think the point of this segment was just to kind of get all the Pat fans that are panicking. I know a lot of you aren't, but for those that are, just relax a little bit. I mean, you play against the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins.
The AFC sucks. AFC East sucks.
That's so bad.
It's terrible. That's basically the point of this segment.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Okay. There you go.
When we come back, we'll go over a lot of injuries in this so far in training camp. Some really big name wide receivers going down with injuries. We'll talk about some training camp battles, quarterbacks, running backs, who's going to win the starting job. That's some more stuff that you can look forward to as we head into the first week of preseason. Bill, Todd, and Kevin, we're all hanging out on Patriots.com radio. Plenty more Football Nation to come right after this.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Football Nation, there is no off season.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you. Our producer, Kevin Collins, continues the dominance, the musical dominance. Great selection there, Kevin. I don't know how you come up with
you feeling lucky,
gems.
Bill? You feeling
I am.
Lucky?
I'm always feeling lucky, baby. Always feeling lucky. Thinking about going to the casino, actually. Maybe hit up the casino this weekend. That's how lucky I'm feeling.
I'll tell you who's not feeling lucky, Bill.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Todd.
What a segue. How about the injured in the NFL?
And,
they're not
you know,
feeling lucky right now.
It happens every year where in training camp and OTAs and in mini camp, these players go down with injuries and they're lost for the season and torn ACL and Achilles injuries and what have you. And it's really a shame. But you know what? NFL is a violent sport. You know, stuff happens. And you have to get over it. And especially, I get it all the time at ffchamps.com, where these fantasy football managers are so upset that these players are injured before they even get to draft them because they were going to break out this season. And, you know, they were on their dynasty team or what have you. And I just have to say, listen, get over it.
there's nothing we can do about it. Let's just go forward and try to, make the best team or have your best draft possible. And that's what's great about FFChamps.com is, we update you on the latest injuries, and we tell you how when Michael Crabtree with the San Francisco 49ers goes down with an Achilles injury, why it's so important that Anquan Boldin will step up and Vernon Davis is going to be much better. Or when Percy Harvin announced that he has to get hip surgery, we upgrade Golden Tate and Sidney Rice on our rankings. So again, if you play fantasy football and you're serious about winning, check out FFChamps.com. We have a very special discount for Patriots.com listeners, 50% off. It's only $29.95, and we help you win. That's what we do at FFChamps.com. So let's get back to these injuries, Todd. A lot of them happened this week. I mentioned Crabtree. I mentioned Percy Harvin. But how about Jeremy Maclin, Denario Alexander, Aurelius Ben, and Joe Morgan? All of them tore their ACLs this week in camp.
A lot of wide receivers going down.
It's crazy. They're like endangered species all of a sudden.
It's interesting. The Eagles, Aurelius Ben is a backup wide receiver for the Eagles, who actually became a lot more important when Jeremy Maclin got injured a few days prior.
Right.
But after both of them went down with an injury, plus the Eagles had a special teamer go down with an ACL, they're actually looking into, the field. They're scrambling. They're trying to.
Oh, they're blaming. They're blaming not the field, as in the field of veterans out there. You mean the grass? Like the field is to blame.
Well, see, the Eagles have had their training camp up at Lehigh University for forever.
Sure. Yeah.
20 years, and they made the move this year with Chip Kelly to have it at their normal facilities, the NovaCare Center, which is right next to the stadium in Philadelphia.
Uh huh.
So it's the first time they've had training camp at this facility, which is where they practice all the time during the season. So it's like, right, it's a beautiful facility.
Right.
But just out of nowhere, the first 3 or 4 days of practice, 3 blown ACLs. So now they're just kind of taking a look to make sure, that there's not something more than a coincidence going on here.
Well, if you think about it, remember 2 years ago with Adrian Peterson, last year with Robert Griffin and I think Russell Okun, they all tore their ACL in that FedEx field down there in Washington. So, yeah, it could possibly be the field.
Maybe. We'll see. But, yeah, so, the big one there is Jeremy Maclin. The guy's in a contract year. A lot of pundits had him having a big year, kind of going into that big money offseason, and now the guy's out for the year. So no big money for Jeremy Maclin. Someone's going to have to take a roll of the dice with him in the offseason.
And Denario Alexander for the San Diego Chargers, he was projected to be their number one wideout.
He's been hurt all through his football career going back to college.
25 years old, 5 different knee surgeries.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys, unfortunately, that just can't stay healthy. And I felt bad when I saw it because he's incredibly talented. He was at Missouri, along with Maclin, by the way. The two of them were Missouri products. And Alexander was just one of those guys, you were watching him thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to be the next big thing, and then he blew out his knee. Then he came back from it, came all the way back, started to get back to normal, blew it out again. Same thing in the NFL, right? He finally came on and looked like a serious producer, and then he blows his knee out again. So I feel bad for the guy.
Another torn ACL to an offensive playmaker, that's Dennis Pitta from the Baltimore Ravens, their tight end. They were kind of going with that similar New England Patriot 2 tight end set with Dennis Pitta and Ed Dixon. But now Pitta tore his ACL, done for 2013.
Yeah, wow. I mean, Pitta was a force in the playoffs.
Sure was.
He and Anquan Boldin both, and they're both gone. So I don't know who Joe Flacco's throwing the ball to this year. It's kind of like Tom Brady. Two of the best teams in the AFC are going to have to regroup their receiving core and reshape it because the playmakers are gone.
The next injury that we're going to talk about is it's a little suspect. Let me give you the background details. Arian Foster hasn't taken part in OTAs or mini camp. He hasn't practiced yet during training camp because of a calf strain. But we're a little suspect. We're a little curious as to why, and does it have anything to do with the fact that he had 350 carries last year, 41 receptions for 391 total touches last year for the 2012 season? That may have something to do with it.
He's a workhorse running back, one of the few in the entire league who's in the prime of his career, maybe nearing the end of his prime, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
This is precautionary. I'm not worried about this yet. Think back to the days of Emmitt Smith with the Cowboys, Bill. Emmett Smith didn't do squat in the preseason.
Right.
They saved him for week one. He even held out for a year, if you remember.
Yeah.
And he came in and did just fine. I think he missed week one or two. I remember the Cowboys, like the loss of the Cardinals, and then he came back in and they went on to another Super Bowl. So I'm not worried about this at all.
All right, how about we move on from Arian Foster? One more wide receiver to get through. I should have mentioned it earlier. Jordy Nelson from the Green Bay Packers had knee surgery this week. He had swelling in his knee, and I guess doctors said they have to repair some of his nerves. So he's out for all of training camp and all of preseason. Maybe he might not be ready for week one. Mm. That's a pretty big blow for Aaron Rodgers because he lost Greg Jennings.
Yes.
We know JerMichael Finley can't hold on to the ball. It's Randall Cobb, James Jones, and Jordy Nelson, and now Nelson might not be healthy.
Well, and to compound that, one of their top offensive linemen, Brian Bulaga, is out for the season.
and Rodgers was one of the is the most sacked quarterback over the last 3 years. So Bulaga, you know,
that's a
big loss.
Yeah, it is. They got some retooling to do there, the Packers. So again, Patriots fans out there that are bemoaning the fact of all the injuries and the bad luck this offseason with their skill position players and their offense, they're not the only ones. You know, Packers have some question marks. The Ravens have some big question marks. Jeez, I mean, you know, the Seahawks lost their new playmaker, Percy Harvin, and the Niners lost their top wide receiver. So it's happening all over the place.
All right, and then finally we have Kevin Cobb with that knee injury that we already discussed. He fell and he can't get up. He fell on some kind of rubber mat. I don't know. They were very shady about the full details of that report because it was probably a bonehead move by Kevin Cobb slipping on some rubber mat while running in between fields. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills kind of try to keep that one on the hush.
You think there's more to it than that?
There's got to be.
Like maybe like a coach like playing with him and pushed him down and
right. Like
something.
Yeah.
Or he was signing an autograph and like a kid kicked him in the knee.
Yeah. He got side
something embarrassing.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
Oh jeez.
EJ Manuel paid someone.
Why don't we switch gears, Bill? Let's switch gears.
All right, well, we still might stick with the Buffalo Bills and the Kevin Cobb, because if you want to switch gears, let's turn our attention to the training camp battles with the quarterbacks. All right, we have the Buffalo Bills. We were talking about it earlier. Kevin Cobb versus EJ Manuel. Who's going to win the starting gig for week one?
I don't really know. Does it really matter? For week one, I think that maybe Kevin Cobb, if he's healthy, week one, and then they'll transition to EJ Manuel once the season goes south. How about that?
That sounds good to me. The Philadelphia Eagles also have a little training camp battle going on. Mike Vick versus Nick Foles.
All right, here's the way I look at this. This battle, so to speak, is really just a one-season battle because I'm pretty sure that the Eagles' quote-unquote franchise quarterback is not yet on the roster. I think he's going to draft one or two guys in next year's crop of quarterbacks. The quarterback class coming in next year, Bill, is outstanding. I don't think it's going to be as good as the Luck RG3 Tannehill class at the very top, but there's five or six really talented guys. So I think that Chip Kelly's just going to try to make it through the year with these two. He's going to start Mike Vick to start the season. As you know, Mike Vick can't stay healthy either. So once he goes down to an injury, which is inevitable, Nick Foles will come in and do some mop-up time. And don't be surprised if Matt Barkley sees some time as well, if both quarterbacks are hurt, which is pretty likely to happen the way the Eagles have been going the last couple of years.
Matt Barkley, huh? I almost forgot that they drafted him.
Yeah, he's the clear number three right now.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I just think that Chip Kelly's the kind of guy that if the Eagles get out to, a 4-8 season or something like that, and Vic's hurt and Foles just kind of is average, he's the kind of coach that's going to throw Barkley in just to see what the hell he has with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not going to care about the fans and winning or whatever. He wants to see what he's got. And then my thought is he's going to see all three of these guys this year, and he's going to say, oh my God, I need to draft a quarterback in round one, early. That's what's going to happen. But to answer your question, training camp battle, if everyone stays healthy, I think Vic starts week one.
All right, let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blaine Gabbert or Chad Henne? It gets worse. There's one more. I'm going to say it. Oakland Raiders, Matt Flynn versus Terrell Pryor. Now, let's put these two battles head-to-head. Which battle's worse, Blaine Gabbert or Chad Henne or Matt Flynn or Terrell Pryor? This is like the biggest loser, basically.
They're all bad. There's not a lot of upside here. I think Chad Henne's probably the best game manager of the four.
Okay.
We saw so little out of Matt Flynn, you know. He played those couple games for when Aaron Rodgers was hurt or didn't play a couple years ago, remember?
Yeah.
From that into a huge contract from Seattle. But before he even played it down at Seattle, Russell Wilson came in and stole a spot.
Right.
So, you know, Matt Flynn's a career backup type guy. Chad Henne's at least gone in there and made some plays. You know, a serviceable backup type of guy. I am not a believer in Blaine Gabbert. And Terrell Pryor, please, you know, forget it.
So those are the quarterback battles, the Eagles, the Jets,
not
the
a lot of juice there, Bill.
No, there's not.
Not a lot of juice.
Jaguars and the Raiders are the
I like the running back battles much better.
All right, so let's go through these really quickly. We got the Broncos. I think this is going to be a running back by committee situation, Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman. The Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, Isaac Redman, or Jonathan Dwyer all fighting for that first spot.
I think Le'Veon Bell wins that.
I totally agree. The Green Bay Packers have two rookies, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. To me, I think Franklin's more of a receiving option than Eddie Lacy is. You agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, his skill set's definitely more for a passing game than Eddie Lacy, who Eddie Lacy looks like a power forward. My God, did you see the pictures coming out of preseason camp of him?
He is a big boy.
He looks like an offensive lineman.
Yeah, he really does.
So yeah, but right now, Eddie Lacy's the number one guy, they're saying. And as big as he looks, they're saying that he's performing quite well. So this is a really good one to watch in the preseason to see what happens. I think they both see a lot of playing time. If you're a fantasy guy, I think Eddie Lacy's your man.
I don't have a good grip on this next one with the St. Louis Rams. Isaiah Pede is suspended for the first game of the year, so at least we know Darrell Richardson will start week one. But they have Zach Stacy there, and, you know, Jeff Fisher really hasn't named the true starter yet. I think this situation is going to be pretty messy all year.
I don't think they have a guy there. Like, they don't have a guy with a lot of upside there. Zach Stacy, the rookie, he had a very solid but unspectacular college career. You know, I don't think he's, like, going to be the next guy there. I think you're going to see probably a running back by committee. I don't think any of these guys is going to explode for over 1,000 yards or anything.
All right, let's move on to the New Orleans Saints. We all know that Darren Sproles is the guy that catches passes out of the backfield. But how about the runner that goes in between the tackles, Mark Ingram or Pierre Thomas?
Well, Mark Ingram has been a big disappointment ever since he was drafted a couple years ago out of Alabama. You know, the Alabama's had that trifecta of running backs in recent years with Mark Ingram winning the Heisman, and then you had, you know, Mr. Trent Richardson and now Eddie Lacy. So Ingram has kind of been kind of waiting to see. He's kind of been banged up ever since they drafted him, never really been healthy. There's always been a number of running backs there, and it's a passing team. So what is your expectation for Mark Ingram if he were to win that job?
You know, he hasn't been healthy to start his career, so that's one thing that is in his favor for this season. But what do I expect from him? The Saints have so many players on that team.
I know.
That
it's just too much.
Yeah. The ball, there's only one football, and it goes into Drew Brees' hand first. What he decides to do with that after, you know.
Well, most of the time he decides to throw it.
Right. But I'm saying, even if he does hand the ball off, it starts.
Well, the Saints, the new NFL, they don't have the workhorse guy. They exploit matchups. They love Darren Sproles coming out of the backfield, as we all know. And they just play the matchups. They have different body type of the running backs they put in at different times, and that's kind of how they roll. So, you know, both of these guys could be productive, but I don't think you're going to have a clear-cut guy that you're going to go, oh, my God, what a great season by Mark Ingram. I don't think you're going to see that from either of these two.
Right, I agree with that. How about the Arizona Cardinals, Todd? And talking about in spectacular, you have Rashad Mendenhall, Ryan Williams, who's hurt again, Stephon Taylor and Andre Ellington are both rookies. I do not know if this situation is going to work out for any of these backs.
No, I don't know. I'm a little higher on Stephon Taylor than most coming out of college. I liked what he did at Stanford, so keep an eye on him. And Andre Ellington's more of a same school as C.J. Spiller at Clemson and a similar skill set. So keep an eye on them both. I think they both have some potential, much more potential than Mendenhall. Mendenhall's kind of a has-been in my eyes.
I totally agree with that. He's always banged up, as is his teammate Ryan Williams. Let's move over to the New York Giants. They have an explosive playmaker in David Wilson and kind of a short yardage guy in Andre Brown. So I think both of them kind of split the load for the 2013 season.
Yeah. A lot of hype out of David Wilson, right?
Certainly a lot of hype.
And the question is he an every down back? And I think you just nailed it. I think he's a first and second down guy, and Andre Brown's probably short yardage and goal line. Probably, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong
totally.
On that? Yeah, okay. You and I are on the same page with that one. Hey, let's move over to the Jets running back situation, Bill, because it's a barn burner, man. I know we were all watching with bated breath as to see Chris Ivory versus Bilal Powell and who's going to be the starter there in New York.
Yeah, you're throwing Mike Goodson into the mix, and this is the triple threat of running backs this year, I'll tell you. I mean, Chris Ivory looked great with the New Orleans Saints, but that's because Drew Brees was always dropped back to pass that, you know, the defense were playing back a little bit. And in the third and fourth quarter, the Chris Ivory would come in for a few plays, and, you know, he would look pretty good. But he never was healthy, and he never had the full-time job to himself, and we don't know if he can last a full season carrying the load for the Jets. So, you know, it could be Chris Ivory to start the year, but Mike Goodson and Bilal Powell to finish it off.
Right, and moving on to the last one, the Indianapolis Colts, they grabbed Ahmad Bradshaw from the Giants this offseason, who's hurt.
Yep.
And Vic Ballard, who was, you know, solid last year. What do you think shakes out there? The end of the year, who's the guy there?
I think it's going to be Vic Ballard. You know, he had a pretty solid second half of the season last year when Donald Jones got injured. Ahmad Bradshaw starts off pretty good usually, but he can't stay healthy to start to finish off the year. It's very rare in his career that you see him play a full 16-game season.
So all those running back battles, the one I'm looking forward to the most is the Broncos. I mean, like you said, it's probably going to wind up being a two-headed monster there, right?
Yeah, go on, I'm sorry.
But you know what? But again, take fantasy out of it. I like both running backs. I like them both. Like, well, as far as an offense is concerned, you know, Ronnie Hillman, again, loved him coming out of San Diego State. Was on pace to break all of Marshall Faulk's records. And then you have Monte Ball, who tied Barry Sanders' record for most touchdowns in a season at Wisconsin. 39 touchdowns in one season. So I like both of these guys, and I think they'll get the job done for the Broncos in the running game.
That offense is just going to be so good this year, and I think you're right. Both of them will have plenty of opportunities to produce week in and week out, but from a fantasy angle, you're not going to get a consistent guy. You're not going to get Ronnie Hillman 20 touches every single week and Monte Ball only getting 5 to 10. I think it's going to be split a lot of the times. I think it's going to be Hillman 1 week, Ball the next. Who's better pass blocking? Who's staying healthy? Who's syncing with Peyton Manning? I think there's going to be a lot to go on here. It's too bad, too, because the offense is just so good that you want those kind of players in fantasy football, but the Hillman and Ball situation, until one of them really separates himself from the rest of the competition.
Or
gets hurt, unfortunately. I think you're right, Todd. I think it's going to be back and forth.
So if you had to pick one guy out of this entire list we just went through that would be the biggest, let's just go fantasy producer. Who's going to put up the most rushing yards and touchdowns? Who would it be?
It's hard for me not to say those two guys from the Giants, David Wilson and Andre Brown, because I think Wilson's going to be very involved in the passing game, and he can break off a lot of big runs, and I think Andre Brown could be a guy that gets a lot of yards in you know, late in the game and a lot of goal line looks. But if you're just looking for one guy, one workhorse that's going to steal the show, it might be Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think Le'Veon Bell would be the guy that has the most upside this year. David Wilson right there with me. I don't know. I'm kind of buying the David Wilson bandwagon a little bit, but Le'Veon Bell, I think he could be one of those guys that the Steelers bring into camp, bring in there, and burn him out in 2 or 3 years. You know, just rifle through him. He's a big power back with some athletic ability to catch the ball, too.
He also has a lot of miles on him, too, at
he
Michigan
does have
State.
A lot of miles.
He got like a billion carries every game.
Yes,
as a Michigan
and,
State fan, I know how they put the ball in his belly at least 30 times a game.
And as you know then, Kevin, what happens with him is he'll be hurdling players like the poor Boise State safety in September.
Yeah.
But by the time November comes around, he's out of gas.
No, he turns into this like big plotting back halfway through the season, which is like what Pittsburgh would want, but I don't think, you know.
I agree.
You know, it's not good for him if you instantly start giving him 25 to 30 carries a game as a rookie.
I said it on our fantasy show, same thing, is that He's going to look great early in the season, and now instead of a 12-game season, it's a 16-game season.
And Todd, he's a really talented guy, so I hope he gets managed properly because I think he could do some things. I think he could be an effective. He could be effective in situations for sure.
What you were saying is true, though. He was getting the ball 30 to 35 times a game, sometimes 40.
Yeah, because once Brian Hoyer left, I mean, it was tough. They had Cousins, who was okay, but you know, the last year they certainly had no passing game whatsoever. And, you know, you'd see a lot of these games, like they beat Notre Dame a couple years ago on that remember that crazy fake field goal call in overtime? So they've kind of been a lot of smoke and mirrors with their offense, you know, basically centered around their offensive line and Bell. And, I mean, that body for the last 4 years has got a lot of mileage on it.
Listen to these carries last year in per-game carries, okay? Attempts per game rushing, okay? Mm-hmm. 44. 36, 37, 29, 26, 36, 32, 35, 32.
So he definitely averaged well over 30 carries a game.
Right.
Just you
know?
Ridiculous.
So, and I mean, and he's playing in the Big Ten. It's not like he's playing in, you know, the MAC where they throw the ball 50 times a game and all the defensive linemen are 250 pounds. I mean, he's getting whacked around pretty good.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think that, he's got a lot of mileage. I think he'll have a few good years in him. And if the Steelers can manage him.
Yeah. You know. I mean, he's one of those picks, Todd, that when he did get taken, you guys were at the draft. I was doing our draft shows back here. When he did get taken, I was happy for him. Yeah. I also, you know, I kind of immediately the light went off in my head. That's a Pittsburgh Steelers running back.
Exactly.
Like that's the ground and pound hit you in the mouth running back.
Yep. Totally agree. 382 attempts last year.
So there it is, folks. We wrapped up the NFL offseason in just about 2 hours. We went over the coaching changes, the 10 biggest free agents, the NFL draft, some training camp battles to look for, how bad the AFC East is, and how Patriot fans are really just so lucky this year yet again. Todd, Kevin, you guys have anything to add before we take off for today?
It's time to be jamming, man.
I'm down with that.
I'm good with that, too.
Well, listen, we'll be back on right here, Patriots.com Radio, next Tuesday with our Fantasy Football Champ Show that starts at 4 o'clock. And, of course, this show, Football Nation, is on every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And don't forget, you can listen to it on demand on iTunes or on your Patriots mobile phone app. For Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright, and we just want to thank you for listening to Football Nation right here on Patriots.com Radio. We can do it anyhow. I and I will see you. Cause every day we pay the price, we'll deliver sacrifice. Jam until the jam is through. We're jamming. The thing that jamming was a thing of the past. Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.